welcome to Edge of Wonder.
Excuse me.
Ben's just got done eating, clearly.
How are you guys doing? Rob and I are here together filming a bunch of new episodes this week. So we got a lot of awesome content coming for you guys.
We're tired.
We are a little tired, though. It's been a long week, especially yesterday. We did a lot yesterday. We filmed a lot of stuff. We're doing a whole thing on the big oil industrial complex related to plastics.
Very interesting stuff there.
Pretty mind-blowing facts and all this stuff. And then also a whole series that we're titling War on Children. Really about the whole agenda being pushed. That's just all this horrible stuff that's being pushed on children, mostly through cartoons and movies and all these different things like Disney, Nickelodeon, all this crazy stuff that we found.
Oh, yeah, but we're starting there, right? We're doing the critical race theory and stuff like that too, aren't we, Lindsay? Yeah, she went like this.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of stuff. So how are you doing, Lindsay? By the way, it's your birthday.
What?
It's not my birthday.
Well, it's
today.
It's coming up though, right?
On an undisclosed date, we're not going to share.
So happy birthday to Lindsay.
Happy birthday future. To Lindsay's undisclosed birthday on a day we're not supposed to guess.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah.
Okay, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different things happening in tech right now. Things seem to be flipped on their head. No one really knows what's going on, whether Elon's a good guy or a bad guy. We, from all of our, I guess you could say, our insights and also the different contacts that we have, this is a good move. What's going on is actually slowing down the globalists' agenda to take over the universe in a very short period of time. So this is good that we think, Elon, I mean, any one person, it's complicated. And, there's definitely some things going on with Elon. I think that he needs to update his understanding on, especially as it has to do with his understandings of China and things like that. But in terms of having a sense of justice and wanting things to change in the realm of freedom of speech, kudos to you, my friend. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for slowing things down and inspiring all of those investors underneath you to do something really good with their money. What do you think about this?
Yeah, man? No, I think all of this is actually been really good. I know there's some like opinions about, well, you know, Truth Social just came out. Now Elon's doing, like I said, you know, we kind of.
Yeah, but this is competition.
But it is, you know. And
it's good competition for both of them.
And it's kind of good that all of us aren't really, I mean, especially people in the community, not everyone's on the same page. You know, I'm going through like my Facebook feed and everyone's like, this is like not good, you know. And it's like, well, there's just so many things out there.
Define not good.
Yeah. I mean, there really is a lot out there. We just don't know really, you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like in a lot of ways, my world is being turned upside down because, you know, we went from
like seeing no hope at all for many, many months.
That's true.
To all of a sudden somebody making a gigantic move. Right.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and then a couple days later,
biggest move as you could possibly make.
Yes. And then a couple days later, we're like, maybe Jack Dorsey wasn't as bad as we thought. What's going on here?
I know. Granted, he was like on different social or different media outlets in like 2016, right around the elections.
Right.
Talking
yes.
about all this stuff and election fraud and not election fraud. I mean, fake news and all this stuff. But it's like we don't know.
Why was he doing that?
What kind of pressure he was really under.
We have no idea.
I mean, that's especially if Saudi Arabia is now involved, you know, all of a sudden it's like that really came out, you know, and it's like from what I really see, because, you know, he created, remember Vine?
Yeah.
It was basically it was before TikTok. Yeah. I mean, if they kept rolling that out, like that would have been bigger than TikTok. And recently Jack said that was one of the things he regrets was like, you know, not
pulling back on Vine.
Yeah. And then he was like, there's so many people working on it that lost their jobs. And it's like, it didn't sound like he made that decision, even though this is like, he created Twitter. Like this is his thing. And then it's like, it seems it just, everything
well,
was taken
and,
from
and Abby, well, just, did you see the video that I posted on Truth about Alex Jones saying that the most famous podcaster in the world told him that Jack Dorsey watches InfoWars and was,
interesting.
And he, so Alex Jones, he was saying that this most famous podcaster in the world, Joe Rogan, I mean, who else would it be, was telling him that not only does Jack Dorsey watch InfoWars on a regular basis, but he was apologetic and not being able to change things more and asked and said, maybe you guys can do it, Alex and Joe. So
interesting. Well, and
that's big news though, because we, you know, okay, here's the thing. Again, Jack Dorsey, another guy, I don't agree with everything this guy's done at all. I mean, look at some of those earlier tweets about reading the satanic text or whatever, like terrible, really, but weird. Let's say he's come full circle and he's realized how awful this has all gotten. And he wants to help to change something. He's been one of the guys talking to Elon Musk over the last several weeks.
I just wish I could. Yeah. I mean, these are the biggest tech guys. They like, you know, Snowden, I think it was with Jack too. I was trying to find it. They did create some kind of like Dropbox kind of thing, but that was,
we'll get into that in a little bit, right?
Yeah. Okay. Using Proton Mail. But anyway, it's like, I can imagine that him and Elon have been probably talking like in the most secure way about all the stuff. You know, it's like, what do you know? Here's what I know. I can just imagine these conversations that they're having. And it really seems that, you know, like Elon made this. Actually, can you pull up Elon's Twitter, Lindsay, about the, there was like a drawing that he had about the left and the right. This is like, this is exactly what is going on. I mean,
this is
great because it really shows a lot of what's happening. And it's like I hate to use left and right, but it's like the left is getting so extreme. So it's like Elon's kind of saying like there's him, you know, kind of left of center. You have the right that's just being on the right. Right. And then all of a sudden the left gets a little bit more left and the center gets a little bit more right. And then you have the left moving even further. He's like me.
I love this conservative guy in 2021 going, lol.
And so he's like saying like, I didn't do anything. It's just the center got moved over. And then it's like, you know, oh, you guys are not now. Like, why are you doing? What are you doing on the right? And it's like, this is why it's hard to talk about left and right. It's like, dude, we're just trying to be in the center, understand what's going on.
So yeah, and you know, so here we are, where Twitter is actually maybe potentially moving to being more fair in a lot of different regards, and then we have competition. Trump finally came out on Truth Social.
Yeah,
I thought for the first time today.
My shirt would be appropriate today. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I should wear the shirt.
Trump's first move is the hashtag Kaveve, which is great. And for those of you at home that don't know what this means, we've actually covered this in the past. In Trump's original tweet, he talks about this. Despite the constant negative press, Kaveve, everyone thought it was a typo and everyone made fun of him for it. But actually, Kaveve means I will stand up. And this is a pre-flood FU to the cabal, basically.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
I will stand up was what that would be like the equivalent of a come and get it flag, actually, in a way. A Second Amendment come and get it flag, or maybe even deeper than that.
Yeah, and also Google changed the meaning of the term right away when everyone started searching for what it is, and they completely changed.
They shut it down. You couldn't find it anymore. Sites were changing the definitions right on their sites of what this meant. But it was it was from a Middle Eastern language, and it means I will stand up. Yeah, against I guess tyranny.
Yeah, yeah. So I think a lot of what Elon is doing, I mean, if this is going to bring back, like, I'm hoping, you know, bring back a lot of Twitter accounts. I'm hoping I'll get my own back. If people are not as shadow banned, you know, it's like, really, I mean, I really think all of this is good. You know, I guess we'll see the end results, but I just, I don't know. I kind of, you know, I think maybe something changed in him seeing what was happening with the left, like what he posted, you know. And if a lot of like the goal, okay, look, here's my understanding. There's a lot of people out there that are still saying, like, you know, Elon is bad, like, shouldn't trust this. If people, okay, let's just say hypothetically that's true. If people are still waking up in this process, that's a good thing.
It's helping.
Yeah. Even, you know, it's like that the end goal, whatever his motive is, if the end goal can actually wake people up through this process, then it's like, I see it as a good thing. So that's why I'm supporting this, and anything that the media is against, maybe okay usually, as well. Right. Usually it's the other way around. Now all of a sudden,
the media is against it. I'm kind of like for it a lot of times.
Bashing him. Now it's like, you know, this is where the whole thing with Vanguard and BlackRock gets a little bit weird, because yes, both of them have major stock in Tesla.
Well, and oh,
they have stock in every company.
Okay, but so, you know, there's got to be some kind of overlooked SEC rules regarding Vanguard and BlackRock. Their feet are in so many different things, and they're not being called out about it on every level. And if you think about it, like, this is very dangerous. This would be very dangerous for the corporate world, because them having so much stock in all of these things makes it so that this group of venture capitalists can basically control the largest corporations in the world, saying whatever, you know, they want them to say.
Right. I mean,
we have most money in your company. Do what we say.
And he already called out Bill Gates of doing
shorting in Twitter.
Yeah.
He did. $500,000, right?
He did.
Or it was $500 million, rather.
Yeah. And this is what is so important. So it's like, we have to really take a step back and look at this from the greater perspective, because like everybody's talking about Elon, but it's like, you know, who cares what a billionaire does with his money? Like the government, like right now they want, Joe Biden's asking for $33 billion to give to Ukraine. No one's like,
that's the tip of the iceberg of how much money he's dropping.
This is almost the same of what Elon is buying Twitter for. So it's like, we should be more up in arms about our tax dollars going to Ukraine than Elon using his own money to buy Twitter. And it's like, to me, this is a no-brainer. There's a big thing here. And it's like, if we can start using Twitter again to like talk about these things without being shadow banned, this is awesome. 100% support what is going on my end. So,
well, and let's not forget, I mean, how many followers did Trump have on Twitter when he was there? It was some
80 million.
Yeah, it was 80 million, people.
I think it was 80.
We're talking about 80 million people that are going to follow Trump where he goes.
And let's say like 10% were bots.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seriously. I mean, just
so
because
like
the bots.
10 million were bots. 70 million people at least.
Yeah. Probably.
Or, and like, also, we don't know how many people were probably trying to follow him and then were getting denied from Twitter because they were trying to shut him down. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Yeah. So, and it just doesn't make any sense at all how they can ban the president of the United States, but yet the leader of ISIS still had their account, or the official account of ISIS still had their account.
Yeah.
You have still the Russian president official account that's still on there right now, even after everyone's like, Ukraine.
They blocked a United States president from being on Twitter, but left the head of ISIS.
Yeah, dude, it's super messed up.
Like,
I don't know if they're on there now, but that's what was going on
at the time.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is so messed up, and it's like, this is what I don't understand. And you know, people, yeah. Anyway, and then it's like, then you have all these like left people saying, "I'm going to leave Twitter now," and it's like, go ahead. Okay.
Did you pull up? Were you able
later
to pull up Trump's first
go to Canada
tweet back to or?
Sure.
Okay,
you did.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah, pull it up.
And
it's funny because he's like, he's in the middle of probably at Mar-a-Lago or something on the nice grass there. It looks like he's on his phone, and it just says, "I'm back, Kavefe." It's like he's hitting the button right there on the golf course or whatever.
That would be funny, actually, if that was the case. But very funny. And Elon is just hilarious too. He's been posting all this because all these there's all these memes right now. Everyone's like sharing them on Facebook, I'm noticing, I think some people think they're real, or he was like, I'm going to buy Facebook next and shut it down. And everyone's like, ah, it's like, no, that's not.
He said, I'm going to buy Coca-Cola and put cocaine back in the Coke.
And that is, this is so funny. Cause he was like noticing that all these people are doing this. And then he just texted this and then he tagged Coca-Cola. This is so awesome. I mean, how can you not laugh at this?
At Coca-Cola. Oh, hi, lol.
And then I saw it was for a while as a top comment, and they were like, oh, it was something like, did Hunter Biden get to you, and that's why you're doing this, or something like that? Like, putting the Coke in Coca-Cola.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. And then there was the other one. That was the fake one was I'm going to buy McDonald's and fix all their ice cream machines.
Yeah.
But in that case, it's the ice cream makers who are purposely making them faulty so they can have so much money repairing them. That's really what that comes down to. But anyway, So, I mean, okay, you guys, here's a really awesome thing that just happened. Did Alex Jones, did the Twitter account go up yet? Is it there?
Well, there was
I thought they reinstated it, but I guess they were just talking.
Apparently they reinstated Alex Jones account, I think, on an episode of Joe Rogan, but that could have been a joke. But anyway, that video is hilarious.
I think that was a joke.
Yeah, are you ready for Alex Jones?
Sure.
Fine.
All right.
Oh, I've been ready for Alex Jones.
Okay.
Perfect.
They're fucking killing Artie more kids, so you're telling me it isn't real? I had a vote in the goddamn fucking Senate.
Sorry for the cussing, you guys. I didn't realize that.
It was edited perfectly.
That is pretty funny.
Well, on that note, how about we go to a trailer? Can you tell us what this near-death experiences series is about that you guys did?
You guys. So we did this whole thing about near-death experiences where we had people, we're telling different people's stories and different perspectives of what happened to them and their experience. And it really opens up a lot of things. Also, there's some personal stories that Rob and I tell in these as well. So we're going to watch this trailer right now.
What's really on the other side? What's the meaning of life? Are angels and demons real? Well, what if there were people who actually knew the answers? From George Foreman to Ozzie and Sharon, to people you've never even heard about, near-death experiencers are everywhere. But some of their stories come right from the depths of hell and the highest planes of heaven. How do millions of people suddenly go from lives of anger, hate, or debauchery to seeing miracles and bringing joy to the world? You won't find these mind-blowing stories in any textbooks. Let's take a glimpse into the great beyond itself. In Near-Death Experiences, Part 3, Hollywood, Heaven and Hell. Only on edgeofwonder.tv.
And you guys, edgeofwonder.tv is our rise.tv now. We rebranded. So for those of you on Rumble watching this, you can watch all of our series that we've done in the past now on Rise TV, so be sure to check it out. And again, we're going to be releasing a couple new ones with the big oil
big oil industry industrial complex.
Yeah, there you go.
We got there eventually.
A whole thing on what's happening in the world with this whole entire massive war on children. So we're going to be that's why we're here. We're filming both of those. So those series, it's going to be really, they're serious topics, but we do add some humor to it.
Yes. Per the usual.
Yes. So,
okay. Well, a couple of things. One is, let's just go through this a little bit. So do you remember that Laurel and Yanni debate? Back in the day, like, you couldn't tell whether they were saying Laurel or Yanni. Like a bunch of people thought they were saying Laurel. Some people thought they were saying Yanni. And then there was this video of Trump. Can you play this for us?
I kind of remember this.
This was hysterical because everyone was, it was like, it was viral.
It's muted, sorry.
Oh, I do remember it.
And it's Laurel.
Laurel. It's Laurel, America. Definitely hashtag Laurel.
Yanny. Who's Yanny? I
hear. He said he hears Covfefe.
Who's Yanny? I hear Covfefe. There's another one of these about, gosh, because I wanted to bring it up with Zach, actually. I'll find it. It was in our, it's in our document.
Right. So there was another one.
There's another one. It was Brainstorm and Green. I can't remember now. Green something. And it's just mind blowing.
Yeah, I heard them both.
It's so crazy. And I was like, because like every time she, you know, if you can like hold up the, see the word, if you're looking, depending which word you're looking at,
you'll you hear see, it. You'll yeah, look. You see
and it. So then I was like turning the phone around and I was just kind of listening to it. And it's just so crazy. It's like, how does this even work? Like, I still can't really figure it out. And it was like saying something with the sound frequency and how you're, it's like certain people can hear different things with it. But it's like, yeah, I think she found it. Is this it?
Yeah.
No, this is the, oh yeah, this is it. Green Needle Brainstorm.
I can hear them both. Depending on what I'm thinking about at the time.
It's so bizarre. And like Green Needle and Brainstorm don't even sound similar.
But they do now.
It's just
modern technology. Really, we are so advanced that we created a mechanism where we can't tell Green Needle from Brainstorm. The feats of humanity, people.
What was it? It was the what color was the dress again? Is it pink or blue?
Yeah.
Definitely blue. 100% blue.
Okay, so in other news, something really funny happened on Twitter, which was this Ted Cruz reply to Huawei. Just as a little reminder here. So Huawei had originally tweeted, Twitter sold to Elon Musk. We stand 100% behind a free marketplace. Oh, wait, we can't do business here in the USA. Ted Cruz replies, just to clear things up, it's because Huawei is a Chinese Communist Party spy agency, thinly veiled as a telecom company. So true. The truth there, though, you know, very funny and very true. So that was great.
That's a fun question.
All right. So what's going on here with Jack and Snowden, Ben?
Yeah. So with Jack and Snowden, let me pull up this whole thing. So Snowden revealed as key participant in mysterious ceremony creating 2 billion anonymous cryptocurrency. So I don't know if Jack is really a part of this, but basically what Snowden is doing is he is creating new cryptocurrency aspect of things. And I don't know what he's calling it actually, but so he participated in an elaborate 2016 ceremony that led to the creation of Zcash, a leading privacy protecting cryptocurrency. So I do think that Jack is, because they were talking about this, and then he created this kind of Dropbox platform, and I can't think of the name of it. I've been trying to find it. It was a while ago. And there were some celebrities even involved in it. And at the time, everyone's like, oh, you know, it's Snowden. I don't know if we should use it. I mean, there's a lot of weird things about Snowden. I'm still kind of unsure.
I was positive about Snowden a week ago. And then after everything changed with Jack, now I don't know up from down, really. It's like I don't, it's like, of crazy. All of the whistleblowers out there, Snowden smells the worst to me. Like he seems the sketchiest to me.
Yeah.
Like I just basically, like, something in me doesn't want to trust him. Like with Assange, I just feel like that dude actually just tried to do something right.
The problem with Snowden is that he went straight to China after everything happened, and then he went to Russia. And it's like, why would you go to China and Russia? Like, and then you know, of the places
in the world you could go, you chose the worst.
And he was a part of the, I mean, he was exposing the NSA And the problem was, you know, the conspiracy is that he was working for the CIA to expose what the NSA was doing.
Right.
Because the NSA was spying on the CIA during that time because they knew they were doing shady things. So that's supposedly what the conspiracy is and why Snowden came out. So it's like there's a lot of shady things with this. However, you know, it did get kind of weird with all the stuff that was happening. But, you know, right now with this tech world and everything else, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe things changed. You know, it's so hard to say. But with this cryptocurrency thing, what he wants to do, he's basically trying. This is why I kind of support cryptocurrency in a lot of ways, because it can't be centralized. And he's trying to make it so it's even more secure.
Okay, bank information. Can you explain to me why it can't be centralized and what you mean by that?
Well, because right now there's not like a one central bank. It's not an organization or a company that can manage the money. It's all in the digital aspect of the world. And it's like you can buy the crypto through banks because you have to use your bank and everything else to get it. But when once you get it, it's kind of like, it's just like trading in a way. So, you know, you have something, I can send you some coins and then you send me digitally whatever you have, whatever that is, right? Like we can be NFT aspect of something, or it could be other coins that I'm purchasing. So the only time that, you know, it's like once you trade in the coins for cash, that's when it gets kind of iffy.
So let me ask you a question too. So like for me, the only real kind of currency is something that is like material and has value.
Yeah.
Okay. I got
more like gold and silver.
Just broadly speaking.
I mean, granted, yeah. I mean, gold and silver, I trust more than cryptocurrency. I'm just, you know.
But with crypto, what kind of freaks me out about it is you have, okay, yes, it's not centralized, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you really look at like the fourth industrial revolution by Klaus Schwab and everything going on with technology and all of this stuff, and it just so happens that they allowed cryptocurrency and Bitcoin to appear. You know, Bitcoin's own story is so bizarre with
that's true,
you know, with the founder there disappearing and all of this stuff.
Yeah, no one really knows
and,
who the founder
and so if you look at like where cryptocurrencies are taking the world and leading into NFTs and then virtual reality and the metaverse, I see a completely different thing with cryptocurrencies than I do find it valuable, because I'm just seeing this as like a gigantic, I don't want to say conspiracy, but a gigantic agenda to then transform us into like the digital age, like fully into the digital age. Okay. So for one, there's two things that creep me out about crypto. I haven't bought any crypto. And the reason I haven't bought any crypto is because I'm thinking that there is a time in the near future when the big guy upstairs hits the nuke button and or the EMP button. And then what happens if power goes out everywhere or their technology changes or gets disrupted? What happens to your crypto?
Well, to answer that question, if all the power went out, we wouldn't even be able to use banking. All your cash in your account, like at that point, nothing would matter. Correct. All that would matter, it would be like gold. That's it. Not even cash would even matter at that point. Like, honestly.
Yes.
So at that point, it's like, if you hit the nuclear button, it's like, it's over, really. I mean, economically, it's like total, it's like you might as well just go back to the dark ages of bartering.
But then point. Think
so
of
then
that,
it wouldn't now, matter if you have crypto right. or not. I mean, or if it wouldn't even matter if you have $1 billion in the bank account, because it's nothing. I mean, you don't have that physical cash in your bank account. It's all digital. So it's like what I kind of see with this is like this is already in motion. The whole metaverse, the NFTs, everything. I mean, the NFTs in the US alone is a $2 billion industry. This isn't going to go anywhere. It's like we can either conform and understand like this is the direction of the future of things that are going to happen, or it's like we can try to go against it. But it's like no matter what, this is the path. This is what's going to happen. We just either you're going to ride along with it or just kind of not go along with it. But if that situation were to happen, then it's like it wouldn't matter anyway. And my thinking is like, okay, I might as well join this now and see where it goes. And if it ends, it's like, okay, great. You know, whatever.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying it's risky. Like for me, I invested in gold and silver for the exact opposite reason that you invested in crypto. Because I'm like, so here's my thing is, let's say the EMP button gets hit and all of that stuff goes out, all of a sudden, gold and silver become probably one of the most valuable trading assets on the planet, and its value goes up exponentially.
Yeah, but that's only in a crisis, like major crisis situation,
which it looks like we're heading into right now.
But it's like, for me, it's like, well, I mean, this is why I'm not trying to convince people. You know, like, for example, I saw the ape coin that went out like about a month ago, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to buy into this because this is all about the NFT world and the metaverse. And it's like, you know, and like today it like got up to almost $30 and I bought it at $7. So it's like, okay, it's cool. You know, I made some money off of this right now. I mean, it could crash all tomorrow, you know, but it's like, but also that's the risk that you're taking. Any stock or anything that you know, even making a business, like all of it is about risk. And it's like, yeah, you could lose it, but you want to go the safe route. Yeah. Buy gold and silver.
You and I can both agree that we think after this period of time, things are going to start heading back to traditional values.
Oh yeah,
right?
100%.
Okay. So if we're heading back to traditional values, do we think that there's going to be a empty type of currency like crypto or you know, the US dollar, which is like basically the fiat system?
Anyway.
Yeah. Or do we think that it's going to go back to actually material?
Traditionally
speaking, the material things are what's actually going to be valuable because it has to be something.
Well, I think that like, for example, okay, Elon and Jack both were tweeting about 1971. Like, what happened in 1971? In 1971, that's when they decided not to use the gold standard for the dollar anymore. That's really when the dollar changed. And Jack was saying, like, look at people, how much homes were in 1971 compared to what they are now.
Oh yeah.
It's insane.
Oh yeah. My parents,
it's totally
my
insane.
My parents bought their home for $30,000.
Yeah, dude, my grandparents bought their home for $5,000.
Right.
It's like, that's, you can't, it's like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just insane. And so it's like, yeah, this, you know, so this is kind of fascinating to me. Why aren't millennials, so this is Edward Snowden, why aren't millennials buying new homes? Truly a mystery. A new house, this is 1970, $23,000 for a new house. Average income, $9,000. New car, $3,000. Movie ticket, $1.55. Gasoline, 36 cents. Following year, 1971, we changed the gold standard to get away from it. And then inflation has just been through the roof ever since.
Because it's because like, nothing's worth anything.
We can print as much money as we want.
The
now.
Fiat system and crypto is kind of similar in a way.
Well, and even gold.
You're saying it's worth something, so it's worth something, but it isn't actually anything tangible.
No, it's not. No, I mean,
it's an idea.
Basically, it's not tangible at all. Yeah. It's just, it exists in a digital world. That's it. But it's like, you know, gold, not even in 1930 was like worth $20 for an ounce. You know, it really wasn't until the inflation really started hitting hard coming in, even in the 2000s, when or the early 2000s, even in the 90s and 2000s, where gold just started going crazy because of inflation was going up and everyone knew, oh, the gold's not backed by the dollar anymore, or the dollar's not backed by gold. So then there was this big gold rush to like buy gold because it's like, what if the dollar fails now, there's nothing there to back it up. And it's like, we can just print as much money you want. I mean, that's what happened. It was the Soviet Union and coming in the early 1900s. I mean, to buy, it was cheaper for people to use their money as wallpaper than to go out and buy wallpaper with that money.
Right, right.
So it's like you can look this up, you guys. This is no joke. And it's just, it's like, there's photos of people pulling wheelbarrows, like a wheelbarrow full of cash, just to buy like a loaf of bread, basically.
Yeah.
Because like one loaf of bread
was the Great Depression.
$10,000, you know? It's insane. And so,
okay, but check this out. If, let's say, my theory is correct, and everything goes back to tradition, and cryptocurrencies become null and void. Let's say you spent $25,000 on gold and silver. That $25,000 is probably going to be like worth $100,000 at that point.
Possibly, yeah. But I think at that point, honestly, I don't even know if gold and silver would even matter by that point. If the whole world fell apart, I mean, I would.
But that's the only thing you could trade with. Think about it.
Necessarily.
Well, you can trade. You can trade with materials.
Let me say this. Yeah, like if the world was like in chaos, right? And you're like, well, here's gold. And it's like, what the hell am I going to do with gold? I want food.
That's never going to happen, dude. Gold was the only way of trading for thousands of years.
What I'm saying, like, think about it. Like, what am I going to do with that gold? It's like, I would rather have food.
So what you do? Well, this was the system. Because
it's like, do you need something that I have?
Yeah. It would be like, I'll trade you this for this. But then when you don't have this for this and you have a little bit of silver, you can be like, I'll give you this. So you can trade with another guy for something that you have.
Right.
So if you're not bartering, which you can, you're using gold or silver to do a trade. That's just how everything rolls, you know?
Yeah, no, I think at that point, because we're still trying to look at things in the future, however it is, from the frame point of how our world is now. And that's where the whole structure just needs to break apart because it's like,
dude, the whole structure needs to blow apart.
Yeah, because it's like there will be a fundamental whole shift in mindset.
What? Don't swear.
So because I mean it may be more of like a bartering thing or a learning aspect or just working together, like a more of harmonious kind of thing. You know, there's so many different aspects to that. I think that, you know, the human race is probably going to go through something really intense, but you know, at that point things will be totally different. So it's like it's hard to understand it because we won't even have our government system and how it is. We won't be paying the taxes how we are. You know, it's like more.
I mean, I hope not. Taxes kill me, man.
I mean, our taxes is a communist system.
I hate feeling like I'm funding this Joe Biden's crusade to give Ukraine cash and then launder it and put it all in their pockets.
This is what drives me insane. Can we shift the focus from like Elon buying Twitter to like really hammering the government
of
like
$33 billion they want to spend
so much money. It's like, can I not give you my taxes? Because I know that this is like I don't want to give the president of Ukraine, he's got over $1 billion. Like, where did this even come from? Like, you can't be an actor in Ukraine and get $1 billion. Like, that does not make sense at all. Nothing makes sense of this. It's like, where did this money come from? What is really going on? You know,
why is a clown the president of Ukraine?
Seriously.
Has all of this been prophesied in the past? Maybe you can tell us about your prophecy series.
You know, sometimes your transitions are good, Lindsay.
Sometimes I need a little work.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's okay. Just play it now. So this is our prophecy series. Actually, this is one of my favorite episodes that we did. Man, this was really awesome, you guys, because I was founding all of these things and really what revelation was revelation. I don't know.
Revelations.
It's the Mandela effect thing. I don't know. And
it's a Mandela effect.
And really breaking it all down. And it was just really awesome. And I learned a lot actually as I was researching this. So let's show it.
John, Nostradamus, Confucius, the Mayans, Aztec, and Hopi. What's something that the divine, enlightened, and ancient all have in common? What did they see and predict during their time here on Earth when they saw visions of the end of days? Were the pictures they were given simply glimpses of the future or warnings of impending doom? Well, since history does repeat itself, let's take a look today. And let's find out what predictions, dreams, and visions have come true, especially ones made eons ago. And in these days, do we see moral lessons we all need to pay a little more attention to? Or will we just hastily shrug them off as a few more amazing coincidences? Don't miss this exhilarating 3-part series on Edge of Wonder. Prophecies and the End Times.
And we're back.
Yeah, you guys. So that was our prophecy series. And honestly, yeah, so much related to how I was able to really figure out like the the virgin woman and with like the feet under a moon, and it's all constellation and stars, and it's just fascinating. You remember we were doing all that, and it's been a while now, but anyway, that was one I really liked a lot. So I don't remember what we were talking about or what we should be talking about.
we were having a pretty good debate about cryptocurrencies versus physical, you know, gold and silver. True. And
well, okay, right, like, yeah, just being living right. I mean, look, it's not like you know, with cryptocurrency, with any stock, with any kind of things like this, it's just like you got to just put in what you're comfortable
with. Well, and it's right? all risky, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's why stocks are risky.
That's why property's risky.
Even buying a house is risky.
Everything's risky.
Yeah, everything is, really, you know? So it's like, hey, you know, you just have to do what you're comfortable with. You don't want to put like all everything you have into this, like hoping that you're going to make, you know, billions of dollars and everything crashes and you're like homeless. It's like, no, don't do that. Just, you know, I just throw things here and there and just see what happens. And
no, really. Like, okay, he's throwing things all the time.
I really do. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
He beats me.
So, yeah. Anyway, so, you know, it's good that we have different views on this. I really think, you know, it's good to have.
And actually, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but because the nature of stocks and these things are risk.
Yeah, totally.
And you're kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost
and I don't
lost money on stuff. Yeah. And I've also gained money on stuff. Probably in the long run, it probably all balances out right now. I'm probably broke even with everything. But buying Twitter stock was actually a smart move on my end.
So, honestly, though, if I was saying what is the least risky thing to invest in right now, silver and gold.
Yes.
No, really. I get it. Like, it's a win-win-win-win situation. No,
it is. I mean, it really is. I mean,
it's just silver, the price of it's going to keep going up.
Silver just fluctuates.
If something happens, it's going to be
a couple bucks
worth way more, you know?
Yeah,
true. Weighs a ton. You but can't honestly, move it.
Honestly, gold is overpriced right now. I mean, it just is because the dollar, you know.
You got to shop around.
But actually, what I really want to do is I want to get I would love
titanium alloy skeleton.
No, that would be awesome too. Yeah, then you can break your fingers. But the rubble, Russian rubble.
The ruble.
Yeah, I would love to change some cash, U.S. cash for it
for rubles.
Yeah,
so that the FBI can be at your door knocking down and being like, "Why do you have rubles?
Why do you have this?" Yeah, because I mean, now that it's backed by gold and oil and everything, it's like, dude, that's very stable right now. Yeah. This is what the U.S. needs to do, and the problem is they don't want to do it.
The U.S. What's the U.S. right now?
The U.S. I don't even know. We have a clown running in the U.S., but not anyway. Not really a clown. What is he? Puppet. But no, it's, you know, it's just the way it is. And right now, but yeah, you know, like I said, it's just in this society where things are, you know, and it's like, if things start going south and it's like, it wouldn't even matter anyway. I mean, like I said, you're not going to go to the bank and all of a sudden like try to get out $100,000. You know, it's just like, you could try.
I mean, you could.
Kind of hard.
No, you can. But sometimes it'll take them a couple of days, but they have to pony it up.
They actually do. It's your money. I mean, it's your money. If you want to, you know, if you're like, I want $1 million out of my account, like, technically they have to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a hard time. Maybe the government will give you a hard time. Like, what are you doing with this money? Well, I don't want you to have it, so I'm taking it.
Yes. Well, and that's actually the danger. Like, let's say things do go down on planet Earth and food is scarce. Food is way more valuable now than anything else.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But like, what I've, yeah. But the problem is,
I mean, like my loaf of bread could be worth more than your gold.
Well, and let's say you store a lot of food because you're prepping and the government is taking note of everyone who's prepping right now. They're going to show up at those people's, FEMA is going to show up at their house and try to redistribute this food when it's like the food you saved for your family to survive something. Which doesn't seem right.
Not
that seems strange, right?
Yeah.
But that could happen.
Yeah, I know. Exactly it. And it's like the whole system, like I said, it's just flawed. So anyway. But I mean, you know, I think that I just hope that, you know, and that's why, like, we try really not to be, even though we make some, like, funny comments and kind of harsh comments about some of these
people. About who? I don't ever but, do that.
But I mean, in the long run, it's like, even if, you know, if these people could really step forward, if anybody who knows things could really come forward, I mean, we should really, you know, this is a good thing. Like, we need more people to really come forward.
We need more people to be inspired by Elon Musk and do something with that money God arranged for you. Why do you have that money?
That's exactly it. You know, I mean, this is a really good way of looking at it. It's like, hey, you have, like, even Bill Gates, like, you have this gift for a reason. You were given this for a reason.
It's not your fault you're an alien. It's not your fault that all this weird stuff, like,
or you've taken so much money from the people, but, you know, it's like, you still have this.
Yeah. Do something with that 24,000 acres of land.
I mean, I've heard this. I'm not from billionaires, but I have heard this from multimillionaires. You know, we even talked to some of these people that want to do good, because it's like, I have millions of dollars and I'm just sitting on it, and I keep thinking about
what can I do with this?
That's like, the question. I want to help humanity, you know, and this is like
there has never been a time more like right now to do something that can actually be effective with that money. But the problem is the organizational part of this whole thing. You can't just don't act on your own. Everyone is stronger as a group. You know, what's stronger, a finger or a fist, right? So if there's a bunch of investors that can all get together and really plan this out and what they're going to do, that can have the best effect rather than just somebody trying to act on their own.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
And people...
If I try to punch you with my fingers, I'd probably break my fingers. Or if I punch you like that, I'd break your face.
Break my fist, or poke my eye out.
But anyway, what were you saying?
Ben's very violent today. Very aggressive. You gotta get off the roid spin.
The roids. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
No, I was just saying that I think that there's no way for us to compete with the organizational prowess of the WEF. They're exceptional at organizing themselves and organizing the agendas that they want to push through any means necessary. This is where we're weak. This is where all of us, the 98-99% that are not them, are weak. Is we're simpler people. We're not trying to take over the world, but they're trying to take it over and completely enslave us in a way, right?
Well, so to keep going.
We are slaves. Like, even if even if they're not using the word slaves, we're slaves to them. Because we're completely at the mercy of whatever they want to arrange.
And then instead of us trying to understanding that we're realizing it, it's like, hey, you know, you were white. So therefore it's like the black people were slaves. And you guys need to fight each other right now. And it's like, you know, it's like, we're all slaves to the system. And as soon as we all start understanding that, will come together. And that's what they don't want to happen.
There are so, like, they must sit in a room and laugh at how much we're controlled by them. I mean, think about it. You guys, wait till you see these big oil episodes that we just did.
Yeah, go ahead.
And just how much climate change has pulled a veil over people's eyes. I mean, it's so plain in those episodes what's going on and how they're controlling things.
It all comes back to the oil companies. And who has the most stock in the oil companies? Bill Gates, all these, like, BlackRock, Vanguard, all these things.
They simultaneously do the things that they're criticizing, and then we're the ones that get blamed for it.
Exactly. And they actually do marketing, specific target marketing to the people about these things. And it's just really sad. Like, you were bringing up the WEF, and it's like, we have to understand, like, the billionaires, most of them are sponsoring these guys. Like, you know who the biggest, Bill Gates, he gives more money to the WHO than the United States of America. 20% is funded by Bill Gates.
Bill Gates have this much money?
This
is bizarre.
This is, like, what we need to bring up, not Elon buying Twitter, where hopefully we can start actually talking about these things, but these other billionaires who are funding all this other stuff, because they're also funding the media. So the media doesn't want to talk about it, because it's like, oh, we're getting, you know, X amount of dollars from these people. So yeah, we're not going to say anything negative. Like, why would they? And then the whole thing is owned by, like, two companies. So it's just, The whole thing is flawed. I mean, realistically, we wouldn't even need cryptocurrency if things were in balance, you know? I mean, realistically, it's like, who would care, you know? And it's like, wouldn't care as much about making money as we would be coming together as a society.
One thing that annoys me about the whole cryptocurrency argument is this whole idea that blockchain is not, is like, secure.
It's one of the most secure things in digital
aspects. Okay, it is. But you're still a fool if you don't think that there's technology that can hack any of that.
Well, that's what scares me with quantum computers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The point here is the military, Google, all of these different corporations have access to technology we're not even aware of. We're like, we're 100 years slower than them. So yeah, don't give me this.
It's true, but it's like, this is too time consuming and it takes too much resources and energy. You know, it's like most likely those things.
A quantum computer could break into a blockchain in a couple of minutes.
I don't know, actually. I would like to.
No, but we're not even, dude, we're not. Okay. Yeah. But even still, we're not even aware, is my point, of what technology they have that they're using that can do things. Mm-hmm. We're 100 years behind them. So whatever we're seeing is like laughable to what's actually going on in the military and stuff, right?
Yeah.
If they're allowing this stuff to go forward, it's for a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, did you want to do some questions
these are
pretty
good questions, actually.
Why don't we start getting into some questions.
Answer them. this is from Raybert. If you guys were billionaires, what would you try to change in the world? A good question.
And we're going to answer this on Rise TV, so we're going to leave Rumble right now.
Why is Lindsay yelling at me again? yes, so we're going to go over Lindsay. We're going to go over to Rise.tv now. So thank you guys all for watching us here on Rumble. For those of you on Rise TV, you guys are literally the reason why we can do what we're doing, and we appreciate you so much. If you can support what we're doing, please subscribe to us at Rise TV. It's the same as, you know, if you were going to support us, you know, by donating any old way, except we're giving you a lot more back. We're giving you a lot more content back for subscribing to us and as an appreciation for keeping the lights on, keeping us going. So please come over to Rise TV and hang out with us. We're going to do a Q&A based on all the stuff that's going on right now and address this with our super awesome community over there. Anything, Nate?
All right.